Jesus Christ Reveals the Name of God, Part 3. Comments on John 17, verse 6 through 11, by Mr. Karsten Linke. What does Jesus ask of the Father? In John 17, verse 9, he begins to pray for his people, and in verse 11 comes the central point. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are. That is the one concrete request in this text. Christ prays for the preservation of his church during the time in which he will not be with them in the flesh. The church has always belonged to the Father. He has given them to the Son, and he in turn places them under the protection of the Father, who will preserve them in his name, that is, in his effectual salvation, as long as they are in this world. Just a few chapters before, Christ described how this preservation would be manifest. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. John 14, verse 16 through 17. What the Son of God proclaimed there, he now fulfills. He prays to the Father for the Comforter, who will preserve the church. The work of the Holy Spirit is part of God's counsel. Each of the persons of the Trinity takes part in the preserving of the church. The members of the one people of God are members on the one body, the body of Christ. Therefore, the purpose of this prayer for preservation is that they may be one, verse 11. The Church of Jesus Christ is called to confess in this world that Christ is their only Lord and salvation, to hold fast to that one faith, to take the one Word of God as their only guide for doctrine and life, to proclaim this Word, and to be bound together in one body with Christ and with each other. Where this takes place, there is the one Holy Catholic Christian Church, and there the one body of Christ is visible. Christ reveals to his elect people the name of God. He accomplishes their salvation. He sees to their preservation. He prays for them. He stands before God's throne for them. He maintains them as the members of his body. He does not pray for the others, not for the world. He does not expressly pray against the world. He ignores them. He excludes them. In this way, he carries out the will of the Father, just as Jeremiah once received the instruction. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Jeremiah 7, verse 16. This fact is a great comfort. Christ prays for that which belongs to him and the Father. He goes before the Father specifically for them whom the Father knows and acknowledges as his own, for no more, and also for no fewer. And God will let fall none of those whom he has chosen to be his own. For that reason we can be assured that this high priestly prayer will be heard. We need not, and may not, doubt that. In that Jesus Christ reveals the name of God to his congregation, in that he effectually calls his own, in that he saves them from the dominion of sin by his powerful work and word, and leads them into the presence of God and keeps them, he glorifies himself. In verse 10, he confesses, I am glorified in them. The redeemed church is his bride. She is his ornament, and he receives thanksgiving and honor from her. We have a very clear picture of this in the book of Revelation. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Revelation 5, verse 8 through 10. And even the heavenly hosts take part in this song of praise. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Revelation 5, verse 11 through 12. Jesus Christ, the one who opened not his mouth and was led as a lamb to the slaughter, will inherit all honor and praise. He presents himself in the book of Revelation as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Revelation 22, verse 13. That word end means literally goal. Christ in his glory is the goal of all things, for in him the triune God at the last glorifies himself. For this reason, all of the work of God in this time is directed to this one goal. To sum up, Jesus Christ reveals to us the name of God. God the Father portrays himself to us in his name as the God who certainly fulfills his promises regarding our salvation. When Jesus reveals his Father's name to us, he seals to us in himself the promises and the fulfillment that are grounded in him, in his person. God's promises are sure to those whom he has chosen from before the foundation of the world, those whom he gave to his Son before the foundation of the world. Jesus carried out his work of salvation for them only, and for them only he came before the Father as their high priest. All of the work of Christ for us and in us is directed to one goal, that he will be glorified in us. For that reason he received us from the Father. For that reason he revealed the name of the Lord. For that reason he earned our salvation on the cross. For that reason he holds us by his Holy Spirit through all temptations, afflictions, and opposition. And in the glorified Christ, the triune God glorifies himself.